Happy Thursday, my fellow honeybees. You're listening to Sweet Talk on radio.dominican.edu. For those of you who are returning, welcome back. And for my new listeners, welcome to the Beehive. Every Thursday from 2 to 3, we'll be diving into some sticky situations regarding love, lust, and who you can trust. Remember that through the show, you can tweet me at SweetTalkWHoney with any questions, concerns, or comments, and I'll do my best to get to all of them answered. Again, that's Sweet Talk W Honey. Today we'll be talking specifically about the quickie. Now, I know what many of you may be thinking. The quickie is usually referred to a sexual romp that is exactly that, quick. It is to the point, exciting, and usually quite intense, and it is often more animalistic and lust-driven than regular romantic sex. But today we'll be referring to it in many connotations, first being a relationship that is moving along rather fast. Today, I've invited my friend Lawrence and a fellow DJ of mine, Jazzy J, to be here with us and give us some feedback and opinions. They are both second-year Dominican students and are happy to be here. Hey, you guys. How are you guys doing today?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing well.
Great. I'm doing good.
Okay. So today, I was inspired to do this show by a friend of mine and some posts on social media regarding her love life. I don't really know what she identifies herself as when we talk about sexual orientation, but she used to date my cousin, who is also a female. My cousin went away to college about a year ago, and I guess they broke things off. I don't really know the whole underlying stories, but anyway, she's now dating a guy who seems pretty cool. I mean, I guess I've never really met him, but whatever. Anyways, to make a long story short, they've been dating for about 3 months now, and I saw a picture of them on Twitter, and the fact that he got his whole forearm tattooed with her name. So I don't know how you guys feel about tattoos. Do any of you guys have any?
I personally don't have a tattoo, but I'm definitely thinking about getting one, but not with the person's name on it.
Okay, and what about you, Jeff?
Yeah, I tend to agree. I don't think I would get a tattoo with someone's name on it, but I think tattoos are okay. I mean, you're going to have that name on you forever, and it hurts worse to, like, take it off than it is to put it on. So
I've heard. Yeah, personally, when it comes to getting someone's name on me, it will never happen, especially after 3 months. I feel as if tattoos, they're awesome, they are great. I'm not against them at all. I actually love them and the way they look. Many people in my family actually have tattoos. My father was actually someone who got a tattoo. Then the first tattoo he got was my mom's name. He tells me the story all the time, and I continue to tell him how stupid he is for that. But yeah, he got my mom's name tattooed for the first time, and that was ridiculous. I feel as if there are plenty of other things also that one can put on their body to symbolize your love for someone. I can understand that someone may want to express their love for another person with, you know, some ink, or maybe their old significant other had made such a huge impact on their life, you know, if they were like a cancer survivor or something of, you know, that sort. Life throws us so many curveballs, though, that we never know what's really going to happen. But imagine having someone you're dating now with a big tattoo on them and a reminder of their name, whether it's, you know, Jessica, Lindsay, or, you know, even Jacob. So I'm actually dating someone right now who has a tattoo of their ex, and I mean, I don't find it offensive or anything. I mean, it is what it is, and I understand, you know, she was engaged with her for a while, so I mean, I get that they had a big thing going on, but I mean, the constant reminder whenever I look at her, you know, that they had something going on isn't really the best feeling, and it's kind of a mood killer, if you guys agree, you know. Does anyone in your family have tattoos, Jazzy?
Not that I can think of, not immediate family at least, and they would definitely, like, not put someone else's name on their body either.
And what about you, Lauren?
No, actually none of my immediate family or, like, my outside family has tattoos in general. I don't think it's, like, part of our culture and, like, of my ethnicity.
Got it. Okay. Would you guys ever consider getting a tattoo with your significant other if, you know, it ever came up?
I've actually been thinking for a really long time that, like, when I get married, I want, like, my wedding ring tattooed on my ring finger. But that was only if the other person was willing to do that. And I've heard it hurts a lot there in that specific place. So I'm still, like, very unsure about that. Yeah, so I don't know.
What about you, Lauren?
I don't think I would ever get a name tattooed on myself yet. I just don't want to, like, have that in general, like, there.
Yeah. Well, what if it was, like, say, you know, your significant other was like, Lawrence, what if we get, like, you know, a flower that represents, like, that both of us, like, matching flowers or matching, you know, whatever that represents our relationship. Would you be, you know, into that?
I think, yeah, like, maybe a symbol of our love. Like, I know, like, I'd be down to, like, get maybe, like, a certain, like, symbol, like, or maybe a word, like, hope, mm-hmm. or, like, word, like, love, or, like, a symbol of our love just like that. I wouldn't get their name put down on me.
Yeah, definitely. So now that we're on the topic of tattoos, I was actually on Facebook the other day, and I saw a post that someone had posted of a URL, and it was basically about this woman who got her boyfriend's or significant other's name across her chest in, like, the, I guess what you could call, like, ghetto, like, lettering, like, ghetto, you know, thuggish, ruggish lettering. And she was sent so many negative comments and so many negative things that she actually deleted her Facebook page and had to, like, call suicide hotlines and such like that because of things that had happened. Do you think that people should be so negatively affected by, you know, what other people say when it comes to you and your relationship?
I think judgment is a huge, like, thing in our society that people don't realize, like, really affects other people. And it's unfortunate to hear that this lady had to, you know, call a suicide hotline just because she posted a picture of herself, just for being herself. That doesn't make any sense to me. As far as the people who commented, I think that maybe they don't understand her situation or they're a little naive about her tattoo and what the significance brings to her. So I don't think that's a very nice thing to do.
I definitely think that people always, like, look at the outside world and what people think of them. But I think people need to live their lives out without as much, like, judgment from others. I think they need to live their life like it's your love, it's your relationship. You need to make it how you want it to be.
Yeah, definitely. I would also say that people who get tattoos, usually they have an underlying meaning to whatever they get, most of the time anyway, because I know people, you know, on a drunken night in Vegas, they'll go get a tattoo of, like, Woody Woodpecker and, like, call it a day, you know. But I also think that tattoos have a really special underlying meaning. My father, like I was saying, he has his first tattoo was my mother's name. They've been happily married for 23 years, so, you know, God bless them. I guess that tattoo meant a lot to them. I don't know. But he's fully tatted. He has two half sleeves. He has his back. He has his whole chest. He has the side of his leg. So he is, you know, when you look at him, he looks kind of intimidating with all of the things, but he is actually a big teddy bear, and all of his tattoos mean something to him. He has names. He has like lettering. He has his Puerto Rican flag on him. He has different, like, his native frogs and, like, stuff like that. So everything I feel on him is very symbolic, and I feel like that's what tattoos are. They're a story, and they're split, you know, they're an artwork, they're an art piece. And I definitely personally, and from what, you know, I heard from you guys, I feel like you guys would never get someone's name, but tattoos are in the story for you, in the picture for you. And personally, after 3 months, I felt, you know, as being a friend of hers, I just felt like, wow, like, you're moving pretty fast in a relationship. Do you guys think that is, you know, a fast thing to do in a relationship after 3 months, get a tattoo of your significant other?
I definitely think that's a really quick decision. Like, I don't think after 3 months, like, at 3 months, I don't even know where we are at. Like, that could be still at the honeymoon stage, as people call it. Mm-hmm. Like, we're not even in the, like, serious stage where we, like, need to talk about, like, where we're going with this relationship, whether we want to, like, actually, like, call it, like, a relationship in general. Like, at 3 months, like, I barely know a person that well yet.
Yeah. And you?
Yeah, I kind of agree, but also there's a part of me that just doesn't want to judge them for moving into it that fast. Like, obviously, it was their decision to do so. So, I mean, I personally wouldn't do it, but, I mean, if they were feeling it, go ahead.
Okay, and then with the picture, there was a comment on, you know, you can, like, hashtag and stuff like that. So the comment beneath the picture was that they had, like, kind of, like, quotes. So the tattoo artist had asked, okay, whose name is this? And the response that her boyfriend gave was that, oh, it's my wife's. So do you feel like 3 months to call someone your wife, even if you're kidding or even if you're not? I mean, putting a statement like that on your, you know, whole forearm and calling someone your wife, to me, I'd be a little, like, taken back because I personally don't like to move that fast in a relationship. The person I've been dating has asked me numerous amount of times, you know, to get a tattoo, and I'm totally down. But to get her name across my whole forearm, I don't think I would do. But anyways, yeah, so I don't know. Tattoos are a big deal, and moving fast in a relationship is, you know, it's crazy, and you want to know, you know, no one really knows when the right time to take the next step is, you know. You may be feeling one way, and your partner may be feeling a whole another way. Another question that really comes up with moving, you know, quickly in a relationship is, when is the right time to, you know, invite her over to meet my parents? What do you guys think?
I definitely think that you need to take time to meet parents. I mean, unless they've been your friend for a long time, I feel like it really matters the relationship, because friendships turn into relationships sometimes. So maybe, like, in the relationship at 3 months, it might be acceptable because you've known this person for so long in your life. But if it's, like, someone you've just met, I think you need time to get to actually know them, like, what their job is, what their, like, hobbies and values are, especially values. Like, sometimes, like, parents can be very, like, intimidating to a person where they ask them, oh, where do you see, like, you going with this person? Like, do you actually see that you're going to go marry them or something like that?
Yeah, I kind of agree. And also, like, I've had a friend, she dated a guy for 3 weeks, and she's older than I am. And it was only, like, 3 or 4 weeks, maybe at the most, and he proposed, and now they're engaged. And part of me is, like, why are they, like, they don't even know each other? And the other part of me is just, like, you know, it's their life, they can do what they want, but it's just kind of, I feel like that's moving really fast. Like, you just don't know the person well enough, you know?
Yeah, I can totally relate. I mean, when the way I grew up in a, I guess, somewhat strict, well, rather strict Hispanic family, and me being the only girl in the family, I was the princess, I was the one, you know. I had two brothers, I lived by the double standard, definitely, and there was obviously no way that I was able to have a boyfriend, no other way. I mean, I snuck around, I did different things, you know, but I mean, at the end of the day, me dating was not, you know, a thing. And if I ever even thought about it, like, when I became, like, a junior, senior in high school, I was somewhat kind of afraid to tell my parents, mostly my dad, because, you know, he was the one, oh, you can't get married until you're, like, you know, 30 or whatever. But anyways, yeah, I feel as if bringing home someone, that's, like, a big step in your relationship, to bring them home to your family, to share something as intimate as that, you know, your family, the people that you trust and you care about, your own blood, to share that with somebody, I feel is very, it's important, but it's very intimate as well. And you need to take time and definitely dive into your own brain and figure out whether that's something you're willing to do, that's, you know, something you're ready to do. A lot of people are nervous the first time, and I feel like those nerves, if you're very nervous about it, I feel like you're not ready because you're not very confident with the person that you're with. But at the end of the day, moving fast is something that happens, and it's something that people kind of need to slow down, you know, take your time. People are still young, you know, you need to enjoy your life. Go do something else. Go travel. Yes, be with someone, but make sure you have time for yourself and time for your friends and stuff. But anyways, to my listeners, thank you so much for listening. We'll be right back with our second segment. But for now, enjoy the music, and we'll be right back.
About love. I'm wrong and then change my mind. Sorry, but I have to move on and leave you behind. I can't waste time, so give it a moment. I realize nothing's broken. No need to worry about everything I've done. Live every second like it was my last one. Don't look like I got a new direction. I love you once, needed protection. You're still a part of everything I do. You're on my heart just like a tattoo. Just like a tattoo. I'll always have you. I'll always have you. I'll always have you. Sick of playing all of these games. It's not about taking sides. When I looked in the mirror, didn't deliver. It hurt enough to think that I could stop. Admit that I'm wrong and then change my mind. Gotta be strong and leave you behind. I can't waste time, so give it a moment. I realize nothing's broken. No need to worry about everything I've done. Live every second like it was my last one. Don't look back, got a new direction. I love you once, needed protection. You're still a part of everything I do. You're on my heart just like a tattoo. Just like a tattoo. I'll always have you. I'll always have you. If I live every moment, won't change any moment. Still a part of me and you. I will never regret you. Still the memory of you. Like it was my last one. Don't look back at a new direction. Don't look back. I love you once. Needed protection. No, no. You're still a part of everything I do. You're on my heart just like a tattoo. Can't waste time, so give it a moment. I realize nothing's broken. No need to worry about everything I've done. Need to worry. Just like a tattoo, I'll always have you.
All right, everyone, welcome back. This is DJ Honey with Sweet Talk here at radio.dominican.edu. I have DJ Jazzy J here with me and my good friend Lawrence. Before we left, we talked about, you know, tattoos in relationships and whether or not it's a good idea to get one with your significant other. And especially their name on you. So now we'll be moving on to another connotation of the word quickie. Now, we are all familiar with slang and vernacular, you know, depending on where you are, especially in the Bay Area, we have, you know, hella and, you know, different words like that. And depending on where you are, what generation you're born in is, you know, what you really know. Because I'm sure, like, stuff from the 80s, I'm not going to know what people are talking about. Maybe later on, like, the 3000s, like, who knows what they'll be saying then, or if people will even be talking. But now when I'm talking about quickie, we're referring to a girl who is rather promiscuous. I was in New York last spring break for spring break, and my aunt stayed with me. She is actually a couple years older than me. She's about 3 years older than me, so not too old. And we were walking down the streets going out at night, you know, having some fun. And I kept hearing this word quickie, and I was like, well, what are they referring to? You know, they were just throwing it out there like that. So I asked my aunt, and she basically told me that it refers to a girl who is known as, I guess, a slut or a whore, someone who's promiscuous. And out here, that's what we use it at. We use, you know, when we see someone, either by the way they're dressed or by, you know, anything, or we just don't like them, we refer to them as sluts or whores or other words that I cannot say on air. So I guess I wanted to talk about slut shaming for a while, because I find it, especially being, you know, from a Latin family who I have two brothers and I've lived a double standard. There's definitely a double standard in society when it comes to men and women, and especially when expressing yourself sexually. Men are able to do that. They're allowed. They're, you know, they're looked as this, like, higher person. But when it comes to a female, they are belittled. There's a very famous quote, too, that says, the guy comes out a stud and the girl comes out a slut. I want to know what you guys, or how you guys feel about this double standard in society.
I definitely think that it's kind of wrong that, like, the quote that a lot of people have talked about is, like, there's a key and a lock. So the girls are like locks. So if a lot of keys can open that lock, that girl's called a slut. But if a key can open a lot of locks, then that key's amazing. You know, it's a magic key. So in that term, that guys are the keys and girls are the locks, and it's just, like, not fair about that double standard.
Yeah, now that you said that, I realized, like, as a lock is something that people, especially, you know, criminals or whatever, but people need to open. And I feel like women are kind of, I guess, used as locks, if that makes any sense. In a sense that locks, if you can open them, especially, you know, if you don't have a key, then you're like, I don't know how to say it, like, you get, like, a trophy, you know, like, oh, wow, like, a pride of a job well done, like, good going. How do you feel, Jessica?
I just think I'm from a Catholic, you know, family and a Catholic background, and religion has, played a lot into my life, and I kind of just think that, you know, I've been taught my whole life that, like, girls are a tabernacle, and they're meant to be sacred, and, not worshipped, but just meant to be sacred, and is something that, you know, guys don't take advantage of. And in that kind of context, the way society works now, it's not really, most guys don't appreciate women as the tabernacle that they're meant and created to be, so.
Yeah, I definitely agree, and like I said, I feel women are, we're such, like, wonderful people. I mean, let me just be a feminist for a second and tell you, like, we're the only thing that can bleed for a week and not die, okay? We are amazing. We are amazing beings. And for someone to not think it's okay for a woman to express herself sexually, I mean, that's what we are. Biologically, we are, you know, wired to want to have sex. We are required to reproduce. Like, that's what we do, you know? And, I mean, for someone to tell us that that's wrong, I mean, come on. I'm sure I'm not the only one who can vouch to say, like, we feel hot when someone, you know, like, thinks we look good, or, like, we when we want to go out, we put on, you know, a nice dress and, like, do our hair, do our makeup, so people can, yeah, think we look good. I mean, we're not trying to grab attention, but we hope that someone will, like, see all the work that we put into it and, you know, try to appreciate us for being who we are and being out there. And unfortunately, being out there, I mean, to an extent, can be looked down upon. I mean, we're wonderful people, and for someone to say, oh, well, you're a slut, you're a quickie, you're a whore, for basically expressing how you feel, that's just wrong. And like I said in the earlier segment, the woman who got the tattoo across her chest, she was expressing who she was, you know, and her love for her significant other. Would I have done it? No, but that's the way she did it, and she shouldn't be put down on. She shouldn't, you know, be, like, surrounded by all of that negativity. And because she was, you know, directed to, you know, suicide. I mean, thankfully she didn't go through with it, but, you know, who knows? If people continue that negativity, who knows what can happen? Who knows what, you know, is going to happen to her? I want to know if any of you have experienced any slut shaming, whether it be, you know, someone calling you it, you calling someone in it, you just hearing it on the streets. Tell me how you feel. Tell me what's going on.
First of all, I'm a woman like you are, DJ Honey, and I kind of want to know what Lawrence's perspective on this is, because, you know, he's a guy and we both live in the same society, but it's an interesting take from the other perspective. So I want to know what Lawrence thinks. But personally, I've had like maybe one or two experiences with that where people who don't even know me call me names. That's just like, you don't even know me. So how are you going to judge me based on like what I, you know, what I would or wouldn't do? And I think that's kind of wrong. Yeah. But yeah.
So my perspective is that there's definitely double standards for both genders. Like, that women expect men also to be more masculine and to, like, have abs and to have great bodies now these days. And I feel like what descriptions of men are that they're supposed to be like, they're supposed to be like, oh, to the woman, like, that you look good, honey, and, like, supposed to, like, talk them up and stuff. And, like, that's how they're showing their manliness, which is, like, sad to see that that's like what women do expect. They want compliments in a way sometimes, but I'm not saying like they beg for it, but at the same time, to show that you're masculine is that you appreciate the female body in the wrong ways. That it used to be like respectful, like you were supposed to be suitors and that you were supposed to compliment in ways that like, oh, you look gorgeous and beautiful. Yeah. But now men come up and catcall girls, which is not the way they're supposed to. But because society has pushed them to be extreme masculinity and like show off their bodies, or and if they don't have a body to show off, their way of coordinating to women is, that's just sad how society has shaped that themselves that way.
Yeah, I don't remember if I was watching like a certain TV show, if it was actually like the news or something, but I remember hearing about a rape that had occurred. It was probably a show. I you know, don't quote me on this, but I remember that in the show or whatever I was watching, they had asked the suspects, "Well, why, you know, why did you do it?" And he replied with, "Well, she asked for it. Just look at the way she was dressed." And to me, it's like, you know, first of all, we live in California, okay? It gets 110 degrees out here, especially depending on where you are, it gets hot, okay? I'm from LA, I'm from SoCal, I know. Like you, Jazzy J, you know, like, how hot it can get. And, you know, so what? We wear shorts, we wear tank tops. I mean, if, you know, so do guys. Yeah, they may not be short, I mean, and if they are, you know, more power to you. But I'm saying, why should we be call these things because what we wear? I mean, if we lived back in, you know, the Stone Age, we'd be wearing like nothing but a cloth. Or, you know, sometimes people have different styles and different, now people, you know, they, the crop tops have come into the style and people are showing their midriffs everywhere, and you know, that's not a bad thing. If you're, you know, I don't know, it really frustrates me to know that women are perceived as items and as sluts and whores, and just because they want to express themselves sexually, as you guys can see, and as you guys, you know me, you know I'm a sexual being, you know I love to express myself in all types of, you know, aspects, and I'm a very big liberal, but it frustrates me to know that this is going on.
Yeah, and I have an aunt who lives in Colorado, and I mean, Colorado for the most of the winter months is really cold, and it's snowy out there, but I had a conversation with her because I went to go visit her and her husband in Colorado, and we had a discussion at the dinner table about the fact that you know, girls are called these names when they wear revealing clothing that makes them feel sexy, and part of me agrees with that, and the other part of me you know, thinks that you should still cover up and be modest. Yeah. But that's just how the way I was, that was just the way I was raised. And my aunt is a very gorgeous woman, and the fact that she wants to express herself just like the woman with the tattoo, I think is a great thing. We should be able to express the way, you know, we're sexual and whatever, like, as women. But I also think in moderation, like, you know, that you've heard your whole lives probably that, you know, moderation is key. And I don't think people should be wearing revealing clothing every day of their life.
Oh, yeah.
But in some cases, sometimes it makes you feel good. And I completely relate to that. So, yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, I agree with you. And that it's, you know, there's double standards everywhere in society when we talk, not just, you know, for women and men, but even when it comes to races, you know, when you see, I've heard people see people of, you know, different ethnicities and such, like Indian people when they're wearing, you know, their certain ethnic clothing and such, that people are like, oh, you know, Taliban, or oh, like, you know, and they don't even know what they're talking about, to be completely honest, because first of all, the Taliban is not from India, you know. People with turbans, you know, I hear them I hear people calling them, you know, terrorists and such. And I'm like, for all you know, that person is, you know, is a nice person. And for these double standards to be going around in society, it's really difficult. It's really hard. And I mean, it is what it is. But back to the whole slut thing. You know what? If you want to be sexual, if you want to be who you are, if that's who you are, and if you're not sexual, that's perfectly fine, you know? The whole slut-shaming thing needs to stop. It's not okay. Women and men are entitled to, you know, have the same equality. That's what we're fighting for. It's 2015, people. Okay, equality is, it's time for it. It's time for it for everybody when it comes to jobs, when it comes to, you know, sexual beings, when it comes to everything. It's time for equality. And be as promiscuous as you want. Be safe on top of anything, but at the end of the day, you know, we're all sexual beings, and I want all of us to understand that it's okay to be who we are, especially in a relationship, especially, you know, with the people that you love, because they shouldn't judge you. They love you. Well, that's all I have for this segment, you guys. You're listening to Sweet Talk with DJ Honey here on radio.dominican.edu. Continue to listen. We'll be right back with some other news. Thank you.
Am I throwing you off?
Nope.
Didn't think so.
How you doing, young lady? The feeling that you're giving really drives me crazy. You don't have a play about the choke. I was at a loss for words first time that we spoke.
You're looking for a girl that'll treat you right. You're looking for in the daytime with the light.
You might be the type if I play my cards right. I'll find out by the end of the night.
You expect me to just let you hit it, but will you still respect me if you get it?
All I can do is try, give me one chance. What's the problem? I don't see the ring on your hand. I'll be the first to admit it. I'm curious about you. You seem so innocent.
You wanna get in my world, get lost in it. Boy, I'm tired of running. Let's walk for a minute.
Promiscuous girl, whatever you are, I'm all alone, and it's you that I'm on.
Promiscuous boy, you already know that I'm all yours. What you waiting for?
Promiscuous girl, you teasing me. You know what I want, and I got what you need.
Promiscuous boy, let's get to the point, 'cause we all alone, you ready?
Roses are red, some diamonds are blue. Chivalry is dead, but you're still kinda cute.
Hey, I can't keep my mind off you. Where you at? Do you mind if I come through?
I'm out of this world, come with me to my planet. Get you on my level, do you think that you could handle it?
They call me Thomas, last name Crown. Recognize gang, I'ma lay mine down.
I'm a big girl, I can handle myself. But if I get lonely, I'ma need your help. Pay attention to me, I don't talk for my health.
I want you on my team.
So does everybody else.
Baby, we can keep it on the low. Let your guard down, ain't nobody got it on. If you were the girl, I know a place we can go.
What kind of girl do you take me for?
Promiscuous girl, whatever you are, I'm all alone, and it's you that I'm on.
Promiscuous boy, you already know that I'm all yours. What you waiting for?
Promiscuous girl, you teasing me. You know what I want, and I got what you need.
Promiscuous boy, let's get to the point, 'cause we all alone, you ready?
Don't be mad, don't get me.
Don't get mad, don't be mean.
Hey, don't be mad, don't get me.
Don't get mad, don't be mean.
Wait, I don't mean no harm. I can see you with my t-shirt on.
I can see you with nothing on. Feeling on me before you bring that on.
Bring that on.
You know what I mean.
Girl, I'm a freak, you shouldn't say those things.
I'm only trying to get inside of your brain. See if you can work me the way you say.
It's okay, it's alright. I got something that you don't like.
Is it the truth or are you talking trash? The game MVP like Steve Nash.
Promiscuous girl, whatever you are, I'm all alone, and it's you that I'm on.
Promiscuous boy, I'm calling your name, but you're driving me crazy the way you make you me play.
Promiscuous girl, you teasing me. You know what I want, and I got what you need.
Promiscuous boy, we're one and the same, so we don't gotta play games no more.
everyone. Welcome back. This is Sweet Talk with DJ Honey here on radio.dominican.edu. I'm here with DJ Jazzy J along with my friend Lawrence. We're talking about quickies. And yes, sexually, and yes, not sexually. There's different terms, different connotations. So in this segment, we're going to talk about how quick celebrities are to either get involved in a relationship after they've gotten out of one, or how quick they are to get married, or how quick they are just to do certain things. And one of the most famous relationships that we talk about in today's society and in, you know, entertainment is the very famous Kim Kardashian. We all know her to be famous for her sex tape scandal, whether it was a scandal or not, you know, I'll leave it up to you guys. But she was married to Chris Humphries. I believe they were dating for about, I don't know, it was from October to May, they were dating, and then they got married. The relationship only lasted 72 days. What do you guys think about that?
I definitely think that, like, I remember that it was coming out and, like, how, like, much money they spent on their wedding and everything like that, and I thought that was an insane amount of money, first off. Like, that could have, like, paid for my college tuition, hold up. And I thought it was, like, just crazy how they just got, like, I mean, like, it was not that long of a relationship. I get that it was in one way, but at the same time, that their whole relationship was televised and everything.
Yeah.
So I don't know if they got married to do it for the show, or if they got actually married because of out of their love. And I just was confused in general, like, why, like, they got married and, like, it would only last 72 days. Like, especially, like, this was actually a really good argument for the gay community, that they didn't allow marriages for gay people or like that, yet they allowed marriages like this that only lasted 72 days. There's no, like, process that they're, like, holding on to. So, like, I think it's definitely, like, a confusing rate for people in society these days to look at what marriage is and, like, what the meaning is. And people have lost what it really is, like, if the person, like, what vows are and, like, what it means to actually love a person these days.
Yeah. What about you, Jessica?
I kind of think that, you know, there's a lot of pressure to be in the limelight like that. And although I don't really know their relationship at all, I mean, other than, you know, they got married and they were married for 72 days or whatever, there's a lot of pressure that builds up between famous people. And although 72 days is not that long, at the same time, they probably had all this pressure to get married and or to get divorced and those kinds of things. Like, you feel like you make one wrong move and everything could, like, fall apart. Yeah. So I kind of just think that they had the relationship they were meant to have, I guess, and they were just put in a lot of pressure in a weird situation, because a lot of celebrities do the same thing and it doesn't always work out, or they have, like, three or four husbands or wives or whatever. And I think it's just because of all the pressure there is to, like, get married or find a significant other or be in a relationship.
I definitely agree with you where it, you know, in the terms of they always have the spotlight on them. They're, you know, when you become a celebrity, you then from that point on know that you are under the microscope, you know. Mm-hmm. Any little thing you do, whether you have a zit on your left cheek or, you know, like a sex tape scandal, it's gonna be on, you know, magazines, tabloids, like different television and stuff like that, you know. And I want, you know, it's hard for people to realize that, you know, being under the spotlight can be so not intimidating but frustrating for someone, because I mean, all the negativity, you know, we keep coming back to this negativity. You really don't hear anything positive unless it's something, like, huge, you know. And divorce is a big thing when it comes to celebrities. A lot of celebrities have been divorced. Kim Kardashian's sister, actually, Khloe, who is actually my favorite out of the three, was married to Lamar Odom. They were only dating, I believe they were dating for a shorter period than Chris and Kim were. And they got engaged. No one even knew. And their marriage actually lasted pretty long, for about a year or two. And then they had to break it off for, you know, their personal reasons. But right after they broke it off and everything, it turns out she was dating French Montana, and I felt that she didn't have much grieving time, or, you know, because from what I saw on the show, it seemed like she really, you know, was fighting for Lamar and, you know, wanting him to come back into her life and to be there for her. And right when they signed the papers, it's like, whoa, well, here I am dating French Montana, and they're engaged. You know, what do you think about that, Lawrence?
I think that was definitely really fast. I get that you always want to find a rebound in a way. Like, my friends and I were, like, talking about how fast people find rebounds for themselves after, like, such a long relationship, and, like, what's the right way to cope and process. And, like, for me, like, what I thought used to be the good processing was to, like, have the time that you were together with that person. And then my friend, like, really brought it up to me. It's like, so if I've been with this person for 4 years, do I need to take 4 years to get back into the game? I'm like, no, I don't think that you need that time to get back, but I definitely think that you haven't processed it through, like, all the way yet. But I know that everyone has a different way to process things, and I think that you do you. Like, you need to, like, whether it is to binge watch movies, whether it is to go on more dates and, like, find new people.
Yeah.
It's, like, whatever you need to do to cope.
When do you guys feel is the right time to get married, or to, for you, Lawrence, when do you think you would propose to somebody after, you know, after how long of a relationship?
I definitely think at least after a year and a half. Like, I know that seems somewhat long, but you don't get to know someone until, like, you get to a year about. And I don't even think year and a half is long enough sometimes. I think you can get engaged in a year and a half,
yeah,
and, like, have time to plan your wedding and to see what the person, you really need to talk to the person about what their values are, because I definitely have been in relationships where the person has definitely different perspectives of what a relationship is. I thought the basis of a relationship is personalities and definitely, like, sacrifice, and that, like, when you love someone, you will do anything for that person. But that other person has a different view where they were like, oh, I don't think personality is. I think it's about living in the moment. So I definitely think that, like, both were valid cases, but you need to find someone that has the same values as you. And that's, like, a really big thing. That's something to the core to look at.
Yeah, I agree. And for me, I think people love to be loved. And that's the hardest, like you were talking earlier about, you know, when is there, like, rebound or, you know, that kind of thing. And it's hard for someone to put, like, a timeline on love, because you just don't know, and it depends on the person. And, you know, for me, my parents, they dated for 4 years before my dad proposed. And for my mom, you know, she was like, okay, I need time now. But I think it depends on the people and how long you really want to get to know someone. Obviously, there need to be secrets for marriage, you know, like, there should be things that you might still not know about the person, and that's what keeps you interested. And for me, I would probably, like, my ideal, like, dating life, I guess, would be, like, 2 years. And that's, like, when it's really serious and you're, like, really committed. And I know, like, a year seems like a long time, but it's a long time now because we're young, you know. But in the grand scheme of things, like, we have our whole lives to, like, find the perfect someone. And as far as that's concerned, you can date for as long as you want or as little as you want. And I don't think it just depends on the person, really.
Yeah, I personally, like you were saying with your parents, they dated for 4 years. My parents only dated for a year before they got, I would say married, because they were engaged after, I believe, 9 months. So they got married after a year. And, I mean, like I said earlier in the show, they're happily married. They have been happily married for 23 years. Like I said, God bless them. But for me, I feel like about a year and a half, 2 years is a good time where I think I would feel, you know, I guess, connected to someone. But I would want to get engaged after that amount of time. But I would not want to be married. And I want to have a long engagement. I want to have about a year, first of all, because I am a big wedding person. I, like, will plan out my wedding from, you know, the day. Like, I want every detail to be perfect. That's just the way that I am. I guess I'm OCD kind of in that way. But I've always thought about it. I do want a long engagement. I feel that's the best for, you know, for something to work. Being a Catholic, I know that a lot of people in Catholicism say, you know, you move into the house after you get married with your partner. I believe that it's important to live with someone before, because what if they have some things that you don't like? You know, what if they don't, you know, first of all, what if they don't like brush their teeth all the time? Like, that's something that would bug me. Like, no, hygiene for one is like the biggest thing for me. Second of all, like, what if, you know, what if they don't sleep with their, you know, socks on? Or like, what if they don't sleep with them off? There's like little things that like people tend to like, you know, be picky about, and those things could really drive some people up the wall and like out of a relationship. I know, because I've had friends who are like, no, I can't be with you anymore, you know, you don't do this with this and this, and oh no, I can't be with you anymore because you cook your egg like that, and you know, it's not okay. So I definitely think that you do need some time to really get to know your partner intimately, as well as, you know, under the microscope too. You have to watch them and see if that's really the person that you want. Moving too quickly can be dangerous in a relationship, especially if you don't know the person. But yeah, it's definitely something that we need to think about as, you know, adults and as you grow older and when you're with somebody in a relationship. Thank you for listening, guys. You're listening to Sweet Talk with DJ Honey on radio.dominican.edu. We'll be right back.
This here is a remarkable so death remix. J.E. y'all, Run DMC to the beach, y'all. Ah-ha. And me, y'all know my name. Come on.
See, first of all, I know these so-called players wouldn't tell you this.
What?
But I'ma be real and say what's on my heart.
Yeah.
Let's take this chance and make this love feel relevant. Didn't you know I loved you from the start? Yeah. When I think about all the years we put in this relationship.
Yeah.
Who knew we'd make it this far? Then I think about what would I be if we were to just fall apart?
Turn this up. If you 18 to 21,
everyone, and welcome back to Sweet Talk with DJ Honey here on radio.dominican.edu. I hope you guys are having a wonderful time listening to my show today. And lastly, our last segment, here we go. We're going to be talking about some advice, giving you guys some advice. If you're in a quick relationship, you know, if you're one of those quickies going, you know, a little too fast, or a little, you know, you want to slow it down, or some, you know, something of that sort, here's some, you know, steps of advice that I can give you. The first of which is to evaluate your relationship. When you meet someone that seems to be everything you've ever dreamed of and more, it can be hard not to fall head over heels for them. And trust me, I know. But you need to hold off on your future wedding board on Pinterest. Take time to think about how things have been going on and how to slow it down. Make sure it isn't better to end things altogether, because for all you know, you really don't know the person. Or you could end up dragging something out that you know won't work out in the long run anyway. Second, you want to make time for yourself. It is easy to get wrapped up in romantic relationships. Although it can be hard to pull yourself away from your significant other, it's really important that you do. Everyone needs time to focus on themselves and nobody else. Take some space to think about you and your own life, and keep your mind off of the person you're dating for a while each day. Make sure to spend some ample time with your friends too. Not only is it healthy to be with other people, but it also can be very easy to lose friends when you don't split your time up with your significant other and your friends, and efforts between them and your partner equally. Third, you want to avoid making huge plans. The last thing you want to do if you're trying to slow down a relationship is try to speed it up. Making big plans for your future can throw off your significant other as well. Sure, it's okay to set a date for next weekend, but don't go too much far beyond that, you know. Talking about the future can feel overwhelming to both parties. Even making plans a month or two in advance can make you feel like you're being tied down, not to mention talking about your lives together years from now. Even if it really does feel like you want to be with someone forever, it may not necessarily be true. Ladies and gentlemen, there is no need to rush. Take it slow. Take it day by day. Experience the moment and don't focus too much on the future. If it's meant to be, it will happen. Know how to hold yourself up to a high standard and make sure that the person you are dating treats you with respect. Remember, good things come to those who wait. So, Jazzy J, do you have any advice for our listeners today?
I think that the advice that I would give to someone, you know, going through a relationship or a breakup or anything like that, is just to treat everyone with respect and remember that we're all people in this world and we're all dealing with our own issues and our own, you know, struggles and things. Just to keep everyone in mind when you're making decisions for yourself or together with another person. So, yeah.
Lauren?
I definitely think that, like, what we've been talking about through the segments is definitely what you just said about information-wise, is to take things slow and to, like, make sure that other person respects you for your values and, like, to not, like, call you out on something, to, like, know that every word that you say to them or, like, you're having conversation, to, like, make sure that they understand what you're trying to talk about and that they respect you for who you are, like, that they, even those little things about you, that they get over it, that they love you for all of you. That even if you don't feel that you're right with this relationship, to try to talk it out with that person. Definitely communication is a really strong thing in a relationship. And I definitely think that society these days makes us rush in a relationship to, like, get to the next level so fast. But we need to slow down. Like, we need to make sure that, like, we talk about quickies, that, like, sometimes quickies aren't the best thing in a relationship and in life in general, that we need to slow it down, that we need to, like, put it out there what we want in this relationship, whether it is just friends with benefits, whether it is a relationship that we want to be boyfriends, girlfriends, whether we are thinking about even getting to the next level of, like, marriage or engagements. It's just that we need to overall think it through, that every relationship is important about communication.
Yeah. I want to ask you guys one more question. Have you guys learned anything today from my show?
I definitely have learned a lot about this show about what a quickie is. I didn't even know that this term existed until today. When you, like, explained it in the first segment, I was like, oh, that's definitely, like, what people call hookups these days. And, like, it's a really strange way to call it, but at the same time, it's definitely a smart way to call it. It's, like, right there, quick. It's a quick fix. Definitely, like, what people want these days to go on Tinder or like Grindr or whatever sites to get a quick fix in relationship and want to have love, but not actually real love that they want. And if they want an intimate relationship, they have to actually talk to that person before they even meet them.
Yeah, I completely agree with you, Lawrence. I think that you've taught me today that a quickie has more than one meaning, and that you just need to really talk things out in a relationship and make sure that things are going the way you want them to, and that you shouldn't really look for a rebound too soon after, and that there are certain times to do certain things, and that people shouldn't judge everyone just because of, you know, a tattoo or one thing that they're wearing or what they look like or anything like that. So yeah, I learned a lot today.
Perfect. I'm really glad that you guys did. You know, I do this show to basically bring awareness to, you know, everyday life, and especially when it comes to love and different aspects that no one really knows about, or no one has, you know, any like want to talk about. So it's great that you guys learned something. It makes me feel so much better about myself. I want to thank all of my listeners today for, you know, all the support, for listening in. I also want to thank you guys for coming on and, you know, being with me for this hour and talking, expressing yourself and your opinions. That's perfect. You know, you guys are a big help. Also, I want to thank everybody everyone else, you know, who for being themselves and for just putting themselves out there. It's perfect. My name is DJ Honey. Feel free to tweet me at Sweet Talk W Honey. That's once again, Sweet Talk W Honey. Next week, I'll be here same time, 2 to 3 every Thursday. Have any questions, feel free to tweet me, any comments, any concerns. I'll try to answer them on the air with you guys. Thank you so much for listening. This is Sweet Talk with DJ Honey on radio.dominican.edu.